الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Inshallah, after the remaining dua, Darse Quran will take place. All brothers are requested to participate. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله، الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. تلك آيات الله نتلوها عليك بالحق، فبأي حديث بعد الله وآياته يؤمنون. ويل لكل أفاك أثيم يسمع آيات الله تتلى عليه ثم يصر مستكبرا كأن لم يسمعها، فبشره بعذاب أليم. وإذا علم من آياتنا شيئا اتخذها هزوا، أولئك لهم عذاب مهين. من ورائهم جهنم، ولا يغني عنهم ما كسبوا شيئا ولا ما اتخذوا من دون الله أولياء، ولهم عذاب عظيم. هذا هدى، والذين كفروا بآيات ربهم لهم عذاب من رجز أليم. الله الذي سخر لكم البحر لتجري الفلك فيه بأمره ولتبتغوا من فضله ولعلكم تشكرون. وسخر لكم ما في السماوات وما في الأرض جميعا منه، إن في ذلك لآيات لقوم يتفكرون. صدق الله مولانا العظيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا، إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا، وعلمنا ما ينفعنا، وزدنا علما. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته. In the opening verses of Surah Al-Jathiyah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had made mention of certain proofs regarding His existence and regarding His oneness. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, تِلْكَ آيَاتُ اللَّهِ نَتْلُوهَا عَلَيْكَ بِالْحَقِّ. That these are Allah's ayat that we recite to you with the truth, that we recite to you exactly. Meaning that these previous verses in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had mentioned certain signs. In verse number 3, Allah ta'ala said, إِنَّ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ لَآيَاتٍ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. That in the heavens and the earth. So the heavens as well as the earth, if a person was to ponder over the creations in the heavens and the creations in the earth. Likewise, the heavens themselves, the earth itself. Then he will find many signs which will prove the existence of Allah and which will prove that there is only one Allah who exists. وَفِي خَلْقِكُمْ. Likewise, in your own creation, in yourself. If a person ponders in the manner that Allah Ta'ala has created the human being. Likewise, وَمَا يَبُثُّ مِن دَابَّةٍ. That the many animals and creatures that Allah Ta'ala has spread out on earth. وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ, the alternation of the night and the day. وَمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ مِنَ السَّمَاءِ مِن رِزْقٍ, and the sustenance, the rain that Allah Ta'ala sends from the skies. وَتَصْرِيفِ الرِّيَاحِ, the turning of the winds. So all of these signs which were explained in last week's lesson, Allah Ta'ala says that tilka ayatullah, these are Allah's ayat, these are Allah's signs. This word ayat, it's the plural of the word ayah. So ayah is singular and ayat is plural. And one meaning of the word ayah is sign. In many places in the Quran, when we find this word ayah, it means sign. Ayatullah, the sign of Allah. And the word ayah can also be used for a mu'jiza, a miracle which is granted to a prophet. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions to the nation of Thamud, to whom Sayyiduna Salih alayhi salatu wassalam was sent as a prophet, that hadhihi naqatullahi lakum ayah, that this camel of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for you is an ayah, for you is a sign, meaning for you it's a miracle. And a miracle is also a sign, because a miracle is a sign that this individual is the prophet of Allah ta'ala. He has done something which an ordinary human being would not have been able to do. And likewise, a proof is also referred to as an ayah. So all of these signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are proofs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists. Because they make a person reach this conclusion that Allah Ta'ala exists and Allah Ta'ala is one. So they are also signs. They are also proofs. So Allah Ta'ala says that tilka ayatullah, all of these signs which we have mentioned in the previous verses, we ourselves recite to you with the truth. We recite to you in an exact manner. فَبِأَيِّ حَدِيثٍ بَعْدَ اللَّهِ وَآيَاتِهِ يُؤْمِنُونَ. So what will they believe in after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His ayat? This question which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here poses, it shows the strength of the disbelief of the disbelievers during the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because there is no other person whose speech can be more convincing or more better than the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah ta'ala is saying that, look, in these verses of the Quran, as well as many other verses in the Quran, we have mentioned multiple proofs. That ponder over this and it will lead you to believing in that Allah exists and Allah is one. Ponder over this and it will lead you to believe that Allah exists and Allah is one. Over and over again, sign upon sign upon sign. Even over here, in just three ayat, Allah Ta'ala has mentioned so many signs. And in each sign, last week we discussed that a person could ponder and there is so much he could ponder. He could spend his entire life pondering. That's how many signs there are. Within one sign, there are multiple signs. So Allah Ta'ala is saying that after Allah Ta'ala Himself has sent down the verses of the Quran and He Himself has explained to you the proofs that He exists and He is one, if that is not going to convince you, then whose speech is going to convince you? Because if an alim was to stand up and speak to you, his words are never going to be on the level that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's words are. a professor, a philosopher. No person will be able to convince you in the manner that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is showing the strength of their disbelief. That here we ourselves are revealing the verses in which there are proofs that Allah exists and Allah is one. But they are still not believing. They are still rejecting. So, فَبِأَيِّ حَدِيثٍ بَعْدَ اللَّهِ فَبِأَيِّ حَدِيثٍ بَعْدَ اللَّهِ وَآيَاتِهِ يُؤْمِنُونَ. That, so what will they believe in after Allah? After Allah either means بعد حديث الله, after the speech of Allah, or بعد قرآن الله, after the Qur'an of Allah, or after these verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What will they believe in? And thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ أَفَّاكٍ أَثِيمٍ. That destruction be for every lying sinner. Destruction be for every lying sinner. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends a human being into this world, then this baby that comes into this world is sent in such a state that he has the ability to accept the haq and the truth. كُلُّ مَوْلُودٍ يُولَدُ عَلَى الْفِطْرَةِ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that every child is born upon fitrah. So fitrah means on a natural state. Meaning that at that time, if this child had the capacity and the intellect to think, and you were to ask him that does Allah Ta'ala exist, then he will say yes. Is there one Allah or many Allah? He will say one Allah. And if you were to keep that child in an environment or box that child up in a cave, away from the evil environment of this world, and this child now grows up and reaches the age of puberty, and now you are to ask that child that what do you believe in, naturally the child will say, I believe in one Allah. So every child is born upon this natural state. But then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that it depends upon in what environment this child now grows up and what company this child adopts. So you get some children, they grow up in a house where the parents are fire worshippers. So from infancy, the only thing this child is being fed is that fire worshipping. This is the correct method. Another child is brought up in a house of an atheist. Another child in the house of a mushrik. Another child in the house of a Jew. Another child in the house of a Christian. And you get some who are fortunate enough to be growing up in the house of a Muslim. So depending upon the environment this child is given, the mindset of this child is made, and when this child grows up, this child either becomes a Christian or a Jew or a fire worshipper or a Muslim. Otherwise, every child has this ability when the child is born, to accept the truth and to understand the truth. And as this person now grows up, once the child now is no longer a child, now he is an adult or she is an adult, now they have the ability to make their own choices. If they were to continue treading this path which is leading them away from the straight path, which is deviating them from the straight path, which is the path of shaitan, then this person could reach a stage where he becomes so arrogant and so stubborn upon this way, despite being given opportunities by Allah Ta'ala to accept the haq and the truth. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will at one stage completely seal his heart, and now he will never be able to accept the truth. خَتَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ. Allah Ta'ala says that they reach such a stage in their stubbornness and in their arrogance that we seal their hearts. وَعَلَىٰ سَمْئِهِمْ, upon their ears. وَعَلَىٰ أَبْصَارِهِمْ غِشَاوَةٌ, we place a veil upon their eyes. Now they will never be able to accept the truth. So regarding such people, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ أَفَّاكٍ أَثِيمٍ, that there is destruction for every lying sinner. Meaning that there were such individuals, according to some mufassireen, this ayah was revealed regarding a person by the name of Nadhr ibn Harith. That this Nadhr ibn Harith, look, not only did he not accept the truth, not only did he not accept the message of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but he made this his mission that he wanted to work as an agent for shaitan. So what would he do? He would go and purchase certain literature or certain books in which incidents and stories were mentioned of the kings of Persia. And he would say to the people in Arabia, when he would see that this person is inclined towards the Quran, this person, he likes to listen to the Quran. He hasn't accepted Islam yet, but he likes to listen to the Quran. Because the Quran had its pull. And especially when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was reciting the Quran. This is why the likes of Abu Jahl also at night, as well as many other enemies, the leaders, at night when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be reciting the Quran in tahajjud, in the haram, they would secretly go and hide behind a wall and listen to that recitation. The very people who during the day were the enemies of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but even they knew that this Quran has this natural attraction. So even they could not stay away from it. And then when they would see that now Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is about to conclude his salah, then they would quickly try to rush home, hoping nobody sees them. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is controlling the entire world. So it would be that one leader is trying to rush home this side, another leader is trying to rush home here, and they meet one another. What are you doing here in the middle of the road, in the middle of the night? So first they would lie. But how much can a person lie? So in the end they had to accept that as much as we hate him, there is an amazing attraction to his recitation. So we go to listen to his Quran. So Nadhr ibn Harith knew that this Quran is going to pull these people towards Islam. So instead of accepting this religion, he became an agent for Shaitan and he went and purchased books in which the incidents of the kings of Persia were mentioned. And he said to the people of Arabia that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he makes you listen to these stories, forget his stories, I've got many stories, come to me and I will convey stories to you. And he would begin to read these stories. Now the difference between the two was that the Quran is not a storybook. In the Quran, with the incidents, the more important part is the responsibilities which are placed upon the reciter. That you will have to bring iman, you will have to obey Allah, you will have to control your base desires, you will have to perform salah, you will have to give zakah. There's many injunctions, many commands, many responsibilities. And over there, what did he have? Simple storybooks, with only stories. There's no responsibility whatsoever. So the people saw that this is good. Here we just listen to the story, we enjoy ourselves and we go home. Like there is a culture today also, that people want to only go and listen to those bayans and those talks where it's very entertaining and very there's lots of enjoyment. But if you go to a bayan and you hear that this alim, he tells us that you have to do this and you have to stay away from this, and we don't want to hear all of these things because we don't want to change our life, then you'll stop going to those talks. So this sin or this illness has stemmed all the way from the time of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's nothing new. So we should always remember that whenever we go to a talk, we should go with this intention that I am going to rectify my life. I'm not going there to have fun. And we should listen in such a way that this person who is talking is a mirror. Now I am standing in front of the mirror. So when you stand in front of the mirror, then you look that what defects can I find in myself so that I can cleanse myself, purify myself from those defects. So when I now leave the house, there will be not a single blemish on my face. So when somebody looks at me, they will not laugh at me. They will not ridicule me. This is how a person should listen to the talk. Not that I'm going to go there and I'm just going to have fun. And if the person says something which is in my life, then I will take this as a personal attack. This has happened many a times that people say that it's a personal attack on me. He's trying to label me and he's trying to talk about me. Whereas you should feel happy if something is wrong in you and the speaker speaks about you, you should feel happy that alhamdulillah today that was mentioned, which is that defect is in me, so I can rectify myself now. If a person goes to the doctor and the doctor says to you that mashallah, your eyes are very fine, your ears are fine, your head is fine, and you've got a really bad stomachache, and you've had a really bad stomachache for the past 2 weeks. And he mentions all the positives in you, and he says, you can leave from here. What will you say? This doctor, he's no good. I've come here for my stomach. Do something about my stomach. So if in the bayan, all the positive points in your life are mentioned, but that negative point which is in your life is not mentioned, you should be unhappy that this bayan was not beneficial for me. But this will only happen when you have the right mindset. So, Nazar ibn Harith, what happened? He brought these books and he said to the people, that come and listen to these stories. And in this way, he diverted their attention from the Quran towards himself. And according to some other narrations, he brought a woman or certain women who would stand up and they would sing songs. And he would say that, forget about Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is calling you and he is reciting the Quran to you. Come and listen to this woman singing songs. This is much more entertaining for you. So like this, he distracted them from the gatherings of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the gatherings of the Quran. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not only speaking about Nadhr ibn Harith or regarding, according to some commentators, Abu Jahl, although they were the initial recipients of this verse, but Allah Ta'ala says, وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ أَفَّاكٍ أَثِيمٍ, that destruction be for every lying sinner. Meaning, until the day of Qiyamah, whoever will have these sort of traits, then for all of them is destruction. And what traits? That they are affaq and they are athim. They are affaq. Affaq is a greater version of lying. So what is afik or ifk? Is just a person who lies. And affaq is an excessive liar, a great liar. And athim, a great sinner. So lying, this sin of lying is such that an individual who has this sin of lying in him, he will naturally or automatically become a sinner also. It's not possible to not be a liar and be a good person. It's not possible to be a liar and not a sinner. No, if you are a liar, you're a sinner. If you're a liar, you will be a sinner. They go hand in hand. This is why Allah Ta'ala, he has mentioned both affaq and athim. And if a person brings truthfulness into his life, and he makes this his goal that I am always going to speak the truth and I am never going to lie, then this truthfulness will lead a person towards bringing the entire deen into his life. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has mentioned, إِنَّ الصِّدْقَ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْبِرِّ, that indeed truthfulness guides a person to birr. Now the word birr, the actual translation of birr is simply goodness. But in the Quran, Allah Ta'ala mentions, وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ, what is birr? مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالْكِتَابِ وَالنَّبِيِّينَ. This is all the aqaid, all the beliefs. وَآتَ الْمَالَ عَلَى حُبِّهِ ذَوِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَابْنَ السَّبِيلِ وَالسَّائِلِينَ وَفِي الرِّقَابِ. This is akhlaq and good characters, how you treat other people. And what comes after that? وَأَقَامَ الصَّلَاةِ وَآتَ الزَّكَاةِ. This is ibadat, worship. وَالْمُوفُونَ بِأَهْدِهِمْ إِذَا عَاهَدُوا. This is how you deal with other human beings. وَالصَّابِرِينَ فِي الْبَأْسَاءِ وَالْدَرَّاءِ وَحِينَ الْبَأْسِ. This is the good characteristics. In other words, the entire deen has been mentioned here. So, وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ بِرْ is the entire deen. So, إِنَّ الصِّدْقَ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْبِرِّ. Sidq leads a person to birr, meaning truthfulness will lead a person to bring in the entire deen. If a person just has truthfulness and he makes this his goal, then I will always speak the truth, a time will come when the entire deen will come into his life. Once a person came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, give me some advice. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam knew the different illnesses which were in this person. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam simply said to him that, promise me that you will never lie. So he said that, I promise I will never lie. Now he returned. Now on multiple occasions, thoughts came in his mind that I want to commit this sin. But whenever the thought crossed his mind that I should commit this sin, instantly this thought came in his mind that tomorrow when I go and visit the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, if he was to ask me that, did you commit this sin, I will not be able to lie because I have said I am not going to lie. So he would refrain from that sin. So look, because he said I will not lie, this not lying became a means of the entire deen coming into his life. He refrained from all the other sins also. So truthfulness leads a person to the entire deen. And وَإِنَّ الْكِذْبَ يَهْدِي إِلَى الْفُجُورِ. Lying leads a person to many other sins. وَإِنَّ الْفُجُورَ يَهْدِي إِلَى النَّارِ. And this will lead a person to Jahannam. So وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ أَفَّاكٍ أَثِيمٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here is mentioning that these people, they are great liars. And they are extremely irreligious. They are extreme in their sins and in their disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that for each and every person who is a great liar and who is a great sinner is wail. This word wail, in the glorious Quran, there are two surahs which begin with the word wail. One is wailul lil mutaffifin. And number two, wailul likulli humazatil lumaza. So in both places, the word wail, as well as in the other places in the Quran, when you find the word wail, it has two meanings. One meaning of wail is destruction. And the second meaning of wail is wadin fi jahannam. There is a valley in Jahannam, and the name of this valley is wail. And the reason why it's called wail is because a person who will be placed in this valley, the punishment will be extremely severe and it will completely destroy this person. So wail. So wailul likulli affakin athim. For every liar and for every sinner is wail, is halakat, is destruction. Destruction be for every lying, false sinner. And what is the other evil trait in these people? That yasma'u ayatillahi tutla alayhi. They hear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ayat being recited to him. So he hears Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ayat being recited to him. ثُمَّ يُسِرُّ. And then ثُمَّ يُسِرُّ مُسْتَكْبِرًا. He then remains proud, arrogant, refusing to accept them. كَأَلَّمْ يَسْمَعْهَا. As if he had not heard them. فَبَشِّرْهُ بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. Give him the good news of a painful punishment. This is another trait in them. What is this trait? This trait is that normally when the glorious Quran is recited, then the person who listens to the recitation of the Quran, his heart is softened by the recitation of the Quran. And in many cases, a person, if he was to listen attentively, then the effect of this recitation will be that he will end up shedding tears. There have been many incidents of in the past where disbelievers have listened to the Quran and they have shed tears even though they did not understand what was being recited. In recent history, the great Qari of Egypt, Qari Abdul Basit Abdul Samad, when he was taken by the ruler of Egypt, to Russia, the Soviet Union. Then during that time, the reason he was taken there was because he had to recite a passage from the Quran in front of the leaders of the world. So when he was reciting the Quran, he saw that there were certain leaders from whose eyes tears were rolling from their eyes. They were crying. So he questioned that, why are these people crying? Do they understand Arabic? Do they understand the Quran? But they replied, we have no idea what is being recited. But the effect of what is being recited is such that it is making us cry. So this is the effect of the Quran, that it softens the heart. It makes a person cry. Likewise, you will be able to see some effect of a person pondering over the verses if he understands what is being recited. So these are all different effects. Sometimes you see that a person, he will just lower his head. And he will lower his head and he will just listen that what is being recited. These are the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, the Quran is such that when the Quran is being recited, it leaves some sort of effect or another upon the one who is listening. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that, look at how wretched these people are. That ka'allam yasma'ha. It's as if the Quran was not even recited before them. There is no effect whatsoever. And the reason why this is so important here is because this is not just any reciter. Rather, this is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who is reciting the Quran. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is the reciter. And the environment is the environment of Makkatul Mukarramah. It is the land of Baytullah. And what is being recited is Kalamullah, the book of Allah. So Rasulullah is reciting Kalamullah in Baytullah. The result should be that the person listening should become Abdullah. He should become the slave of Allah. But here it's completely the opposite, that they become the enemies of Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that, look at these people. That وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ أَفَّاكٍ أَثِيمٍ. Destruction be for every lying sinner who hears Allah's ayat being recited to him and then remains arrogant as if he had not heard them. فَبَشِّرْهُ بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. Give him the good news of a painful punishment in Jahannam. So فَبَشِّرْهُ بَشَّرَ يُبَشِّرُ in Arabic means to convey glad tidings. But it can also come in the meaning of أَخْبِرْهُ, that give them the news. So over here, it means that give them the news of a painful punishment in Jahannam. فَبَشِّرْهُ بِعَذَابٍ أَلِيمٍ. وَإِذَا عَلِمَ مِنْ آيَاتِنَا شَيْئًا اتَّخَذَهَا هُزُوًا أُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ. And when he learns of any of our ayat, he mocks it. There shall be a humiliating punishment for these people. Over here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning another trait of this. That they, when they learn of any of our ayat, then they mock the verses of the Quran. So first of all, this natural state of a human being, when he becomes corrupt, the natural state was that you should have accepted Islam, you should have accepted Allah Ta'ala. But now it's become corrupt. When it becomes corrupt, then the first thing a person does is he rejects the truth. So he rejects Islam, he doesn't believe in Islam. He doesn't believe in Allah, he doesn't believe in Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And after not accepting the truth, he begins to lie. وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ أَفَّاكٍ. He begins to lie. And how does he lie? He lies in this way, that even though he knows that this proof is convincing me to believing in Allah, it's convincing me that this is the Quran, it's convincing me this is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but he will lie and he will say, what sort of a proof is this? What sort of a prophet is this? What sort of Quran is this? So he is lying. So first he rejects the truth, then he lies. And thereafter, he also lies about Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and he begins to say that he is majnoon. He's an insane person. He's sha'ir, he's a poet, he's a kahin, he's a fortune teller, he's a sahir, he's a magician. So look, he lies. And thereafter he takes it to another stage and he begins to reject the people of the truth also. In our time, a person will reject the ulama and he will say that they are not worthy of being listened to. They are not worthy of being followed. This is why Allah Ta'ala in Surah Al-Mursalat mentions, وَيْلُ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ. Listen, over here Allah Ta'ala says, وَيْلٌ لِكُلِّ أَفَّاكٍ أَثِيمٍ. And over there, وَيْلٌ, the destruction is for, on that day, on the day of Qiyamah, is for those people who reject. فَبِأَيِّ حَدِيثٍ بَعْدَهُ يُؤْمِنُونَ. Then after this Quran and after Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ayat, who are they going to bring iman upon? So look, over there Allah ta'ala also says, وَيْلُ يَوْمَئِذٍ لِلْمُكَذِّبِينَ. So now they begin to reject the people of the truth also. And thereafter, Allah ta'ala, he has mentioned the third stage. That the third stage is, وَإِذَا عَلِمَ مِنْ آيَاتِنَا شَيْئًا اتَّخَذَهَا هُزُوًا. Then they begin to ridicule and make fun out of the deen and out of the Quran and out of the people of deen. They make fun. They don't have any proofs. And when a person doesn't have any proofs, then either he will use physical attacks or verbal attacks. He cannot come into the academic field and have an academic discussion, because he knows that if I was to have an academic discussion here, I am going to fail. So he sees that Islam, the proofs are such that there is no way I can have an academic discussion with this person. So what does he do? He either resorts to physical attacks or he resorts to verbal attacks. So he, over here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that they make fun out of the Quran. And because they make fun, then وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ. For such people, there shall be a humiliating, disgraceful punishment. Humiliating and disgraceful. Why? Because they used to try to humiliate the Quran. They used to try to make a disgrace out of the Quran. For example, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the verse عَلَيْهَا تِسْعَةَ عَشَرَ, that in around Jahannam there will be 19 angels who we have placed as the leaders, and they will be in charge of punishing the people of Jahannam. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this verse, then there was an individual by the name of Abu al-Aswad. So Abu al-Aswad, he began to say that, don't worry, if the Quran is saying there's going to be 19 angels, then I will push 10 angels with my right shoulder and I will push nine angels with my left shoulder, and all of you will be able to enter Jannah. So look, he began to make fun out of the Quran. Regarding Zakkum, we studied a few weeks ago that when Allah Ta'ala revealed regarding the Zakkum, inna shajarata Zakkum, that in Jahannam there is this very bitter, thorny plant. That they should have taken lesson from this and changed their ways. That this is going to be our punishment in Jahannam. But what did Abu Jahl say? That in our language, Zakkum also means when you make a dessert with dates and butter. So he went and got dates and butter and he made this sweet dish. And he told people that, come on, let's eat this and consume this. Let's enjoy here also and we'll enjoy in Jahannam also. So these people, they began to make fun out of the verses of the Quran. Allah Ta'ala says they are making fun out of the Quran in this world. There is going to be a disgraceful punishment for them in Jahannam. مِنْ وَرَائِهِمْ جَهَنَّمْ. Before them, meaning awaiting them in the Akhirah, is Jahannam. For them is Jahannam. For them is Jahannam in the grave also. إِنَّمَا الْقَبْرُ رَوْضَةٌ مِّنْ رِيَاضِ الْجَنَّةِ أَوْ حُفْرَةٌ مِّنْ حُفَرِ النَّارِ. This grave will either be a garden from the gardens of paradise or a pit from the pits of Jahannam. And thereafter, forever and ever, for them is Jahannam. So مِنْ وَرَائِهِمْ جَهَنَّمْ وَلَا يُغْنِي عَنْهُمْ كَسَبُوا شَيْئًا. And whatever they earned will be of no benefit to them. وَلَا مَتَّخَذُوا مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ أَوْلِيَاءَ. Neither will the patrons, meaning the gods that they adopted besides Allah, be of any help to them. وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. They shall suffer a terrible punishment. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning that once they are thrown into Jahannam, in the Akhirah, in the hereafter, the wealth which they pride themselves over in this world is not going to benefit them. Their children are not going to benefit them. Any human beings that were their friends or their following that they had in this world, it's not going to benefit them. Likewise, the status in this world will not benefit them. If they earn degrees and they use these degrees to try and disgrace Islam, this is not going to benefit them. Anything that they earn in the world is not going to benefit them. And وَلَا مَتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ أَوْلِيَاءَ, meaning the idols will not benefit them. They are worshipping these idols in the world. In the hereafter, these idols are not going to benefit them. If they worship any humans in this world, they will not be able to benefit them. And if they had any leaders in this world and they were trying to use these leaders, they were going behind these leaders. If they think that these leaders will assist us in the Akhirah, then they are not going to benefit them. So, وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. For such people, there is a azim, a great punishment, meaning that this punishment is going to be forever and ever, everlasting. It will never come to an end. And it will be very severe, very painful. وَلَا مَتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ أَوْلِيَاءَ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. هَذَا هُدَى. Allah Ta'ala says that this Quran is a great means of guidance and hidayah. وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِآيَاتِ رَبِّهِمْ لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ مِّن رِجْزٍ أَلِيمٌ. And there awaits a painful punishment of immense proportions for those who disbelieve the ayat of their Rabb. لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ مِّن رِجْزٍ أَلِيمٌ. لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ مِّن رِجْزٍ أَلِيمٌ. For them, there is a painful punishment. This word rijz, the meaning of the word rijz is أَشَدُّ الْعَذَابِ, according to one tafsir. An extremely severe punishment, or the most severe punishment from all types of punishment. So for the disbelievers who reject the Quran, if a person lives without iman, then from all the possible punishments that a person can think about, the most severe punishment, this is going to be allocated for those people who leave this world without iman. So ashaddul adab, the most severe punishment. And rijz here can mean shadid also, that very severe. And according to some commentators, the word rijz here means ritz with a seen at the end. And ritzun with a seen means filth. So it means that the punishment will be extremely filthy. For example, Allah Ta'ala says, مِن وَرَائِهِ جَهَنَّمْ وَيُسْقَى مِن مَاءٍ صَدِيدٍ. That they will be made to drink from the water of pus. So pus, blood, and likewise, whatever other filth and fluids will come out from the people of Jahannam when they will be punished, they will have to eat and drink this. So the punishment will be very severe also, and the punishment will be extremely filthy also. So rijzun can also mean ritzun here. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala here has mentioned the three fundamental topics in some detail. If we go back to this surah, then from ayah number 1 to ayah number 5, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned his tawheed, that he exists and he is one. And thereafter in ayah number 6, tilka ayatullah natluha alayka, that these are Allah's ayat that we recite to you. That in here there's risalat and prophethood, that these verses we have revealed to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reciting them to you, means that he is the prophet of Allah. The risalat and prophethood. And thereafter, from verse number 7 to verse number 11, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by mentioning the punishments of the hereafter, has spoken on the topic of ma'ad, that there is a life after death. So in these verses, from verse number 1 to verse number 11, Allah ta'ala has brought in these 11 ayat the three fundamental topics of tawheed, risalah, and ma'ad. And thereafter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by mentioning these points, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is basically saying to us that one day you are going to have to die, and after you die, you will have to stand in the court of Allah, and there is either Jannah or Jahannam. So believe in Allah, believe in His existence, believe in Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and believe in life after death, and live your life in accordance to the Quran and the life of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now in verse number 12, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions another point here. In there also, you could say that Allah Ta'ala has mentioned about that He exists and He is one. Tawheed is being mentioned. But with Tawheed, Allah Ta'ala, the more emphasis and the greater reason for mentioning this is that Allah Ta'ala is mentioning one of His favors. Allah Ta'ala is mentioning a favor. And in the Quran, whenever Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala mentions any of His favors upon you and I, one of the reasons for this is to make us subjugate to Him, to make us bow down to Him, to believe in Him and to worship Him. Why? Because Allah Ta'ala knows what is the nature of the human being. The nature of the human being is al-insanu abdul ihsan. That when someone confers a favor upon you, naturally you feel inclined towards reciprocating that favor now. If a person has a sound mind. Unfortunately, we don't live in such times. This is why even a child, a parent will do everything for the child for 30 years, 40 years, 50 years, but then the child will forget the favors of the parent. The students will forget the favors of their teachers. And likewise, in any other field, we see in any relationships that we don't live in those times. But even today, there are still people alive and people with this sound mind that if you confer a favor upon them, they will remember this for the rest of their life. That this person, when I was in need, he assisted me. And this is the advice of Luqman Hakim to his son. That if someone confers a favor upon you, make sure you remember it for the rest of your life. Never forget. Even if it was just £1 and you were walking on the street and you were in need of £1 and you said, can I please borrow £1? And he gives you £1. Never forget this because he has done something. And if you confer a favor upon someone, then you forget about it. Unfortunately, today is the opposite. This was the advice of Luqman Hakim to his son. That if someone confers favor upon you, never forget it. And if you confer a favor upon someone else, then you should forget it instantly. Today, even after 10 years, we still remember that when he was needed £1, I gave him £1. And look how he's treating me today. He shouldn't be like that. So anyway, Allah Ta'ala, when he mentions favors in the Quran, he knows that a human being, when you confer a favor upon them, then they feel that I am indebted to this person now. Now I have to listen to him. If he tells me to do something, I need to do it. So Allah and his favors, without him, we wouldn't even be in the world. Everything that we have is because of Allah. So when Allah Ta'ala confers favors, when Allah mentions his favors in the Quran, this in itself is a favor. This in itself is a favor. Why does Allah Ta'ala need to mention that I did this for you? See, Allah doesn't need anything from us. So even this is a favor of Allah Ta'ala that look, I am telling you, I did this for you, this for you, this for you. Maybe this will make you worship me and refrain from disobeying me. And as a result, you will enter Jannah and you will be saved from Jahannam. So it's your benefit, not mine. So even this is a favor of Allah Ta'ala. So here Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala once again mentions one of his favors. That Allahu alladhi sakhara lakumul bahra. It is Allah who placed, who subjected the oceans at your service. The oceans. لِتَجْرِيَ الْفُلْكُ فِيهِ بِأَمْرِهِ so that ships may travel on them by his command. وَلِتَبْتَهُ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ and so that you may seek from his bounty. وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ and so that you may express gratitude. So Allah Ta'ala here is mentioning from amongst his many favors, one favor is that Allah Ta'ala has made the ocean in our control. This amazing ocean, when a person is standing on the seashore and you look, you're on the beach, you're on the seaside, and you look at the water. It's a very powerful creation of Allah, this water. And if Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala did not place it under our control, there is no way that we would have been able to control this water. But we see that sometimes when Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala wishes, He shows us the other opposite side also, that He doesn't give us control. Now the most expert diver will dive into this ocean, but he will drown. Why? Because at that time Allah Ta'ala did not give him control. Allah Ta'ala is showing that you will only have control over this water when I give you control. A person is walking on the edge and suddenly you see that a very strong wave comes towards you and it pulls you into the water. Allah Ta'ala is showing you that this water is only going to be under your control when I want it to be under your control. This is also my ni'mah and my favor. So Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is saying that we have given this water to you and we have made it under your control. And we grant you the ability to swim in this water also. If Allah Ta'ala did not give a person the ability, he would not have been able to swim in this water. But it's Allah Ta'ala who gives us control over the water and people are able to swim in this water. Then people are able to dive in this water and they are able to come out of this water again. And by diving, there are many benefits also. And likewise, people are able to walk on this water. You see children playing in this water. Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is saying that this ocean, we are the ones who have given you control over it. And after giving you control over this ocean, litajriya al-fulku, so that the ship may be able to, so that ships may travel on them by his command. Litajriya al-fulku fihi bi amrihi. Allama Razi rahmatullahi alayhi in Tafsir al-Kabir, he has mentioned that in here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is actually mentioning three of his favors. That when he says that I have given you control over the ocean, and as a result the ships are able to travel in these oceans, one favor is that Allah ta'ala is saying that I am the one who has given you control over the wood with which you make the ship, so that it doesn't sink in the water. Otherwise, if Allah Ta'ala made the material such that it would sink in the water, you would never have been able to travel. The number one, we give you control over the material with which the ship is made. Number two, we also give you control over the wind. Otherwise, if the wind went in the wrong direction, or the wind was not traveling at the speed that it's supposed to, then again, your ship would not be able to reach its destination. And number three is the water of the ocean. That we have made it such that the boat is able to travel in this water in a very pleasant manner. Otherwise, if this water was more very thick, then again, you would not have been able to travel in it. So we have made the water such that we have given you control over this also. So in one favor, Allah Ta'ala has mentioned here three points. So, لِتَجْرِيَ الْفُلْكُ فِيهِ بِأَمْرِهِ and وَلِتَبْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِهِ Allah Ta'ala further says that so that you may seek from it his fadl, his grace. What's his fadl? Fadlun means rizq here. Rizq means sustenance. And this word fadlun in the Quran in different places has been used for rizq. For example, in the verse regarding Suratul Jumu'ah, when Allah Ta'ala says, إِذَا قُضِيَتِ الصَّلَاةِ when Salatul Jumu'ah comes to an end, then what should you do? فَانْتَشِرُوا فِي الْأَرْضِ spread out on the earth, وَابْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِ اللَّهِ and go out in search of the fadl of Allah, meaning the grace of Allah. Go and earn your livelihood. And when you enter the masjid, what do you say? Allahumma aftahli abwaba rahmatik. Oh Allah, open for me the doors of your rahmah. And when you leave the masjid, Allahumma inni as'aluka min fadlik. Oh Allah, I ask of you of your fadl. So rahmah is that mercy connected to the hereafter. And fadl is the mercy connected to the world. So when you enter the masjid, you ask for the rahmah of Allah. When you leave the masjid, you ask for the fadl of Allah. So fadlullah means the grace of Allah, meaning the rizq. So Allah Ta'ala is saying that we've given you control over the ocean. Then the ship that moves in the ocean, this is also our favor. And thereafter, by giving you control over the ocean and control over the ship, we are the ones who have now given you the ability to gain the fadl and the rizq of Allah Ta'ala. And how do you gain the rizq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So there are two meanings to this. One tafsir is that by the ship traveling, by us making the ship travel in the ocean and it reaching the other side, you are then able to purchase your items, and thereafter you conclude your business trip, you return back home, you sell these items, and as a result, you gain your rizq and sustenance. This is number one. And number two, a second meaning is that because we have given you control over the water and the ocean, then you are able to dive into the ocean and you are able to take out pearls and you are able to sell these pearls. Or that you are able to fish, and as a result, you fish and you consume this fish. This is also your rizq. Or after fishing, you sell this fish, and the money that you receive, you use this money for your rizq and sustenance. So in one, look how many other favors Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has concluded here. So many favors have been mentioned. So وَلِتَبْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِهِ and all of this Allah ta'ala says, we have done وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ so that you may be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That you may ponder that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is running this entire system and this entire world for me. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is running this whole world for me, then وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ I should be grateful. I should be grateful with my heart and mind also. That Allah ta'ala is doing all of this for me. I accept it. And I should be grateful with my tongue also. And I should say, oh Allah, I thank you that you have done all this for me. And I should be grateful with my actions also. That I should live my life the way Allah ta'ala wants me to. So, وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ And وَسَخَّرَ لَكُمْ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَمَا فِي الْأَرْضِ جَمِيعًا مِّنْهِ إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ Finally, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that Allah ta'ala has also placed at your service everything in the heavens and everything on earth. There are definitely ayat in all of these creations for people who reflect. So everything which is in the heavens and everything in the earth, if a person was to ponder, he will find that there are signs in there that Allah Ta'ala is one, that Allah Ta'ala exists, and he will also find that look at how many favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala there are for me. And this should make a person believe in Allah, worship Allah, obey Allah, and refrain from disobeying Allah. الدنيا خلقت لكم الدنيا خلقت لكم This world has been created for you. وَإِنَّكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ خُلِقْتُمْ لِلْآخِرَةِ And you have been created for the hereafter. This is why an Urdu poet, he says here, that ye khetiya sarsabz hai teri giza ke waaste. That all of these fields and lands that you see, they are green and they are lush and they are growing. Who is all this for? It's for you, so that you can consume it. Allah Ta'ala is running this entire system for you. Ye chand, suraj aur sitare hai diya ke waaste. The sun, the moon, the heat and the cold, they all have effects. And these effects, you benefit from them. Who is running all of this and who is it running for? It's running all for you. Allah Ta'ala has made it all for you. Ye sara jaha tere liye hai. This entire world is for you. Aur tu hai khuda ke waaste. But you are for Allah. Ye khetiya sarsabz hai tere giza ke waaste. Ye chand, suraj aur sitare hai diya ke waaste. Ye sara jaha hai tere liye. So when this is the reality that Allah Ta'ala has done everything for us, then what should we do? We should become Allah's and we should worship Allah Ta'ala. We make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He grants us the ability. The ayah ends with Inna fi dhalika la ayatin liqawmi yatafakkarun. So in these verses of Surah Al-Jasiyah, we had Inna fi dhalika la ayatin liqawmi yu'minun. Then we had La ayatin liqawmi Yuqinun. Then we had La ayatin liqawmi yaqilun. And we have La ayatin liqawmi yatafakkarun. So here Allah Ta'ala is mentioning the different stages of iman. That first, a person, he has to use his intellect. He has to use his brain that Allah Ta'ala has given him. When he will use his intellect and his brain, then he will ponder. Yatafakkarun. He will ponder. When he will ponder, then this will reach him to yuqinun, yaqeen. He will have this yaqeen and conviction that no, Allah does exist. And when he will have yaqeen, then لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمِ يُؤْمِنُونَ This will lead him to iman. We make dua to Allah Ta'ala that He grants us the ability to understand, to use our intellect and our brains to understand the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may He make us from those who remain on tawheed, who remain on the straight path, and who remain on that path which leads a person to Jannah. And may He save us from those people who do not use the intellect, or they use the intellect in a wrong manner, and as a result, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned destruction for them in the hereafter. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.
Allahu akbar, Allahu akbar. Allahu akbar, Allahu akbar. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الله حي على الصلاة حي على الصلاة حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر أكبر لا إله إلا الله
الله أكبر سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين ويل لكل همزة لمزة الذي جمع مالا وعدده يحسب أن ماله أخلده كلا لينبذن في الحطمة وما أدراك ما الحطمة نار الله الموقدة التي تطلع على الأفئدة إنها عليهم مؤصدة في عمد ممددة الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين أرأيت الذي يكذب بالدين فذلك الذي يدعو اليتيم ولا يحض على طعام المسكين فويل للمصلين الذين هم عن صلاتهم ساهون الذين هم يراءون ويمنعون الماعون الله أكبر سمع الله لمن حمده الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر. الله أكبر. سمع الله لمن حمده. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. الله أكبر. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. Thank you.